PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Hello, you golfing legends, and welcome back to another episode of the original Off Course. We're doing something different this week. I am on location, Carlsbad, California, here with my guy, Josh Talge of Titleist. Josh, welcome back to my show in your house.
I love it. Yeah, exactly. We're doing like a home and home.
It is.
So next time, I'm going to be in Cincy when we do this. But this time, you happen to be in Southern California, and we've got this cool little podcast studio with these like swanky little leather couches, which, by the way, are tough for us tall guys to sit down in. It's kind of a low rider couch, but yeah. It is comfy.
Yeah, it's, what a bunch of changes you guys have here at TPI. I was looking up, I was talking to our good buddy, Jacqueline, looking up the last time I was here, and it was a driver release in like 2018. So there's huge changes, obviously.
Yeah,
I don't know if you want to touch on a couple of the things you guys have done, because it's like everything. But
happy to. And at some point, just for the THP community, I'm going to describe this as best I can, but I'm describing it. You can watch my hands move if you're watching video. But at some point, we'll make sure we do a proper THP video so you can really see everything come to life. We've got a bunch of time lapse cameras, so we'll do a better job than this will do right now, Dan. But to catch everybody up, since you've been here, you've really seen a big facelift. This facility has been here for almost 30 years, and we've got about 30 acres of beautiful green grass. And so the first thing we wanted to do was redo everything outside. We brought in David McClay Kidd, who many of the listeners probably know from Bandon Dunes fame, as well as, you know, countless other great golf courses. And DMK came in and really helped us kind of look across this and be like, how do we transform this from almost feeling like bowling alleys to a rumply, wide open golf training center that allows you to kind of go and do whatever you want, wherever you want. Mm. And that has been terrific. So everything outside is redone. All new grasses, all new greens, all new locations, and really opened up the property, much like you see when you hear, you know, these great golf courses taking out trees and opening up sight lines. A lot of that was done here to give us more versatility. And when we think about who are all the constituents that are at TPI, it's a pretty broad group. We've got what we would call our leadership group, which is basically tour pros and next gen players. So anything from really strong high school players all the way up through the major global tours. We want to make sure they've got space. We also have our R&D facilities. We want to make sure that we are testing not only our clubs, but all the competitive clubs, all the prototypes that are out there. So they take up space. We have our Titleist Performance Institute, TPI. If you've ever seen Greg Rose and Dave Phillips, you've seen some of their videos. They're constantly doing work with players, so they needed a space. We've got our marketing teams and our sales teams as well, who need space, want to be able to showcase things. So, well, we've got 30 acres, which is vast. It can start to feel like if we haven't really laid this out well, not everybody has a home. And now we've got lots of places to roam. So everything outside has been done. We're in the process of building new buildings, renovating others. So there are two brand new buildings from when you were last here. One is we lovingly refer to as our Advanced Research Center. So two performance bays in that, as well as two bays for our golf ball robots. And as you were joking on the way over here, there's also an indoor batting cage and pitching mound in there because we actually work with a number of Major League Baseball teams because rotational athletes are all very similar. So the TPI guys, Greg and Dave, spend some time back there as well. And then on the far north end of our property, we've got our new tour building. We lovingly refer to it as the Pyramid, this homage to the Pyramid of Influence. And it's just a great building to be able to spend time in. I'll run you through there so you can get a quick tour. I think that the
highlight... actually had a chance to go. Steve took.
Oh, he did run you in there. Oh, so, perfect.
And that's a great part. I wanted to say that where everything I felt like was really well segmented the last time I was here, now it feels like everything's sort of all encompassing. But each location has its own purpose, right?
So exactly.
I really like the idea. If you go to the Vokey Outpost, you go to the Pyramid, you go to the Wedge Green, and then you look down what maybe the tour, the pros are going to play from. You have all these intentional greens laid out for them to be able to hit every shot they want. And, you know, I'm glad I didn't have to hit out of the bunker that's right over there. It's quite terrifying, but I had to hit over one that was very intentionally built over on this side. So from my perspective, at least the optics I got, is everything seems way more intentional this time, all-encompassing.
Yeah, well, and we just stuck on our way over here. We stuck our heads into the Titleist Learning Center. So in next time you visit, it won't be as long as this last break you had.
Hopefully not.
You'll be able to see this new learning center where we can really bring in big groups and help not only teach them about some of the TPI fundamentals of body swing connection, but also how do we continue to teach and reinforce fitting fundamentals and making sure that wherever you go in the world, you can find a terrific Titleist certified fitter. So that's underway. And then our big main building will also get a complete facelift. Everything will look very similar to the pyramid that you went to, which has this very warm, welcoming, almost like a really nice airport lounge where it's just kind of this hangout zone where you want to be there when you're not out on the green grass working on your game. This is a place where you can relax and enjoy.
And you have the visuals for it. Like just sitting in there, they have couches. And I'm sort of telling the group, the folks listening, it's like, you're just so comfortable. It's almost like you're on vacation. You get to look out. It's nice, beautiful lineup there. Then you still are able to even go back to the main building. You get that, let's go have lunch on the patio, and you overlook all the green grass. And it's a very comforting place to be when you're not grinding on your game.
Yeah, I think we take advantage really of the outside, the outdoors, the view that we have. And Mike Reninger, who is our superintendent here, he and his team just do an amazing job with the turf conditions and making sure that when you get a chance to visit the Titleist Performance Institute, you're never going to forget it.
Yeah. One of the things that Steve brought to our attention,
this is Steve Wilson, by the way, who's our director of golf here at TPI, because it's important to us that just like if you went to a really nice country club, we need a director of golf, someone who's overseeing what's happening on a day-to-day basis.
So he made a point of saying the amount of activity that's from everyday golfers has increased here, the amount of education you guys are doing from a teaching how to fit or how to prepare your fitters for what they're taking to everyone else has elevated significantly over the last couple of years. Why make that shift?
I think part of it is we want to make sure that, so I mentioned this to you on the way over here, that we've got almost 1,000 fitters a year come and visit us. And that's because we want to make sure that they really understand not only our products, but how to be great fitters, because we'd love to fit every golfer ourselves, but that's just not possible. Right. And so we want to make sure that all of our fitting partners really understand how to get the best out of golfers. And that also incorporates this idea of needing to be able to fit indoors. Right. If you work at a Golf Galaxy, a PGA Tour Superstore, we want to make sure that you can be the best fitter in the environment you're in. And they've got a lot of the same technologies. They've got TrackMan. They've got all these great fitting tools. How do we arm them with the knowledge to leverage both of those plus our products to get all these golfers dialed in? So we do that. We've also made a really big push globally. So we host so many of our global regions. We host their sales meetings. We host their top fitters. We host their top customers. Because this is just a great opportunity to come here, visit this facility, and really immerse yourself in the Titleist brand.
Yeah, I mean, that is the sense I get out of it. And I want to correlate that back to another thing that your company does very well. And it's each time you have a release, there's a very intentional perspective you take at the ground level. The people who are going to experience your product, there's something you want them to take away. There's something you want your fitters to focus on. We've seen it. Gapping is a really good example. The last T-Series was a huge push on gapping. So having those fitters here, I assume that makes it easier to not just fine tune the recipe that you're looking for, but also get their feedback of what works for them and then help others get to the same level of success.
Well, and they give us this great feedback, Dan. So a perfect example of that in the gapping space. So a couple of years ago, we're working with all these fitters and we're walking them through the 3Ds, which I'm sure we'll get into because it's not only how we develop irons, but how we fit irons. And then we talk about having these 5 mile an hour ball speed gaps between your clubs. And we're talking about that. We're talking about the 3Ds, and one brave soul finally raises his hand and he's like, I can't do that at my place. And we're like, well, why not? Like, we just showed you how to do this. We just talked to you about this. And he's like, all I've got is seven irons. I don't have anything else. I go from seven iron. The next thing up I have are hybrids. How am I going to know where the iron needs to stop for someone if I don't have any long irons? And sure enough, this was great feedback that we got from other fitters. And we're like, oh, you know what? They're right. We need to make long iron packs and give them to all of our best partners because we want them to be able to fit the way we do, which as you went through your fitting, I'm sure they started taking you up. And at some point they'd be like, oh, this is where Dan can't hit those 3Ds plus have that 5 mile an hour ball speed gap from his last club. And so your iron set breaks at some point. And when it breaks, it might go to a larger chassis of an iron. It might go to a hybrid. It might go to utility iron. It could go to a high lofted fairway. But, you know, in almost all cases, it's going to break. When we look at even on the PGA Tour, the number of players who have blades in a four iron is basically zero.
Ideally at this point, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they can't hit those 3Ds with the 5 mile an hour ball speed gaps. So we give them something else to work with.
I want to challenge that is that they can, it's just not as consistent, right?
Sometimes they can't ever.
Can't even do that.
No, because typically it's height.
Okay. Yeah.
That's the real issue.
Well, I know we're kind of geeking out over TPI, and rightfully so. I mean, it's kind of a mecca of experience to come out here, and we're sharing that with a few THPers this week, which...
let's talk about that. What are we doing here today?
Super grateful to be here because of that. So we are doing wedge fittings.
Yeah, we got a cool Vokey experience.
The Vokey experience is here all day long at TPI. They were at Assembly not too long ago, seeing how everything's going over there. Unbelievably gracious that we have directors and VP level people walking us through the facility and telling us what's going on. I got super wrapped up in the destruction area, as they like to call it.
Isn't it cool?
Yeah, I got loads of pictures seeing the things that I hate to see the wear of a golf club. And it's nice to see that there's a continuation of that focus for you guys. Something I saw 8 years ago when I was here, as well as the focus. I'll say I love it when an idea continues for a company because I know they really believe in it. You guys still separate your head weights prior to even arriving here to make it easier to swing weight without using extra. I think that is an unbelievably cool thing. So seeing those consistencies, I love that. Anyways, the guys were here this morning at TPI. Each one of them had their own fitter. They go through all the lineup. They're hitting all the different shots, and they've all landed on some weapons to get them
out there.
And score better. I'll tell you what, I've done Vokey fittings before, but the last one I did was in inside.
Yeah.
And to be able to get out here, I had Brandon as my fitter, who he immediately put me behind a bunker to hit over onto the green. So he's already, you know, stressing me out a little bit.
He saw your game.
Which is hilarious. But we ended up getting fit into K Star.
Love it.
In 58.
Yep.
And 1 degree flat. And we spent a half hour just playing Guess the Grind.
Yeah,
where he'd hand me a club, and I would try and tell him what I was experiencing. Unfortunately, I'm not out of my mind because I actually hit a couple of the, like, majority of them. I had an idea what was going on before I checked it, which is one of my favorite ways to get fit is to make no assumptions.
Exactly.
Right?
Don't tell me preconceived notions.
Don't tell me what it is.
The Vokey team, they're so fortunate. One great fitting group. And we've got all these grinds. We have them for a reason. But as you start to work through, the shapes from a dress are all the same. So visually, you put it down and it doesn't look different.
Right.
But those grinds are going to function different. And I bet as you went through this, there were probably two or three that worked quite well. I guarantee there was one that worked amazing.
Yeah.
And then I also bet there was a couple that you're like, how does anyone play this?
Right.
This just doesn't work for me. And that's part of it.
Yeah. Well, I guess a pretty good PSA is we also had opportunities to spend time with Corey Gerard and the big guy, Bob Vokey,
who's here. Oh, Vokey's here. Perfect.
And
Fellow Canadian,
Montreal. Yeah. So is Brandon. Got some Canadian blood in him. Fantastic. Not directly, but yeah. So we got to hear their perspective, and they said the amount of average regular amateur golfers who play too much bounce or don't have enough bounce. Like there's a real consistency across the board of what they're doing wrong, and the chance to go and experience it. Bob said something really interesting. He talked about being your authentic self around the green. Don't try and do what John does. Don't try and do what you saw in that video. He says, do your homework and learn how to play it your way. Obviously use good fundamentals, mm-hmm. but when it comes down to it, we all have a swing ID. Mine's not the same as yours, but we're both pretty decent with a wedge, I would say. So it's not to say one's doing it that much better than the other, but the point is don't accept that the club fights your swing. Find a club, especially a grind, which is the whole point of grinds.
Exactly.
And bounce. Find something that supports your swing and really engage with that. I thought that was such a cool takeaway.
He's spot on. And it opens up so much because your confidence just skyrockets when you approach hitting greenside shots like that.
Yeah.
When you know, yep, in your case, K-Star. You're like, this is my new wedge.
Yeah.
And you make the read, you see the lie that you've got, and you're like, yeah, I know what's going on here. You're no longer thinking, do I have the right wedge? You know you've got that. I would say the one of the absolute best things about coming to Titleist from, I was at a different golf company. One of the biggest ahas was a wedge fitting.
Really?
Where instead of it just being a gapping thing, which we still do as well, because we want to make sure that you've got these right gaps as you go through. But it was really this, let's fit you for the right grind. And my handicap plummeted. And I'm positive it was because of that, because I suddenly went to like, oh, okay. And the other part of that was finding the right grind in my lob wedge and then the right grind in my sand wedge.
Interesting.
And realizing that they were different and that I was using them for different purposes at different places. And it was much more about what does the lie look like?
Mm-hmm.
Versus in my mind before that, I'd always thought like, all right, like 60 yards and in, I always use this wedge. And from this distance, I always use this wedge. No. Being around Aaron Dill, or you mentioned Bob Vokey, Corey Gerard, the rest of our team, they're really quick to be like, you sure you want to hit that wedge out of that lie? Versus like, look at this one.
Right.
It's perfect to hit that shot out of that lie.
Sure.
And so having that mix of, in my case, an A grind, which is not that far off from your K-Star, or a little lower bounce, very smooth lines in this, whereas you've got a little bit of toe and trail relief, or leading edge and trailing edge relief on that K-Star. And then I go where I add a lot of bounce and have a lot more manipulation with a D grind in a 54 that I have bent to 55.
Okay.
So one kind of high bounce, one low bounce. Thus, I let the lie and the shot that I want to hit dictate which club to grab.
Yeah, I don't want to talk too much about whether I need to start playing 54 more around the green, but we'll get there. It's fine.
Yeah, well, we're not done with wedge day yet. We're going to go play, because one of the other things you talked about, what's cool about TPI is after hours, we have a couple of different routings. So we have a 9-hole routing that's really like an executive course, where we've got a bunch of really great par 4s and a couple par 3s. And then we have a Vokey loop where it's just all short course, and so you just take wedges and a putter and just go have a blast. And so we're gonna do that tonight.
I can't wait to try it. You're coming with us, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You're not going home.
I'm not gonna miss it. We're in the peak of golf season right now. Perfect weather here in Southern California.
Well, you know, the whole it's fun to share these experiences. Obviously the forum is going nuts today with the engagement on that. We've got some great images and obviously some incredible Vokey quotes sneaking in there. But one of the big storylines, one of the reasons why I was so adamant to get this podcast done, is because you guys have an incredible new iron release coming.
Very excited.
Yeah. Do you remember hanging out at Hidden Creek last year talking about irons?
Yeah.
So
I can remember a year back, Dan. I realize I'm the old man in the room.
But I know you're a pretty popular guy, but we very specifically, we talked through what I loved about T-Series. And I think everyone who's hit my T150s has been blown away at the interaction they get, the responsiveness and feedback they receive. And a lot of it, it's sound. But overall, it's extremely positive. And one of the things we talked about is, you know, there is a design right now in golf that always wraps around and that people seem to flock to that. And we talked a little bit about how I would really love to see that sort of player's distance or player performance iron with a full body wrap on it.
Yeah.
And listen, I know you guys work years ahead, so you're probably laughing at me at the time, but I like to think that the new T2 is my baby.
So the new T250 inspired by Kandan.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that we love about having 2-year product life cycles is it does afford us this opportunity to listen. And I'm not saying that to like pump you up or the listeners.
Well, it's not about me. It's about everyone.
But we do listen. We really do want people's feedback. And it's really helpful. And that's what we love about the THP community is listening and reading what they're posting, what they're saying about products and what they're looking for. And we do incorporate that as much as we can in our future designs. So in this case, when you look at our prior generations of T200, which was a very good golf club, did quite well. A lot of players.
You had them in the bag, didn't you?
I had a long iron.
Okay.
I had a 4-iron in T200. We knew that there was a great opportunity to A, increase feel, and B, certainly from a looks perspective, there was a way to be like, could we get this thing back to this idea of kind of, do you remember the product called TMB?
Oh, we had this like hollow
construction, which was really kind of the precursor to the C16 concept iron that we had.
Yeah.
So there's all these ideas floating around. And at the same time, Marty Inez and team had developed this max impact technology, kind of like a trampoline underneath a trampoline that was really helping us, great on center, but also amazing on off center. So it's like, how can we put all these things together in a platform that can do it? And then things really clicked. Alan Hocknull joined our team a while back, and he and the advanced research group kind of came up this way to do it all, to kind of put it all together. And that's why I'm really excited about this new T250, easy for me to say. But it is, I think it's going to be, you know, you never want, it's like picking your favorite kid. I don't really want to do that.
Why not?
Well, actually I do want to do that. I've been wanting to test this theory for a while to like put I have two kids to like each week kind of power rank to see who's in first place just to see whether or not they would respond positively to this.
Yeah. One of them will for sure.
Yeah. My wife has decided that we can't do that, but as you think about favorites, I think this new T250 is going to be a total standout. It is. And I think that's the one that when you start to read, even looking at your forum, it's the number one where people are like talking about like, that's the one I want to go try.
Yeah.
Cause it has this look where it looks like an old school MB, but it's a size that tells you like, oh, I'm not afraid to hit this. There's forgiveness here. And then underneath, there's so much cool stuff going on that it's just going to perform great.
Well, you said TMB, and I think that TMB had effectively a cult following.
Oh, for sure.
I had them in the bag at the top. Absolutely loved them. They were super fun and kind of ahead of their time in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And it's like we as consumers wait and hope and get eager each year to see what is our favorite company going to do? How are they going to take what they had and make it better or different? And I think that was a big fear of mine because we have talked numerous times about how fond I am of T150. I think it is, I can still vividly remember being up in Columbus. I went from T100 into T150, and it's like trying your favorite pair of shoes on. You know what I mean? Like it went from, wow, I can really dig a trench, get through this ball with a T100. The first shot I hit with T150, it was just flush, perfect, straight line divot that didn't go too deep. And I look back at my fitter.
A little bacon divot.
Tim Ford, if you're out there, hey, buddy. And I looked at him and I go, I think we're done here.
Yeah.
You know, it's just those moments that we remember.
Well, and that's why we have so many different irons, too, is that your swing's a little different than mine's, a little different than, you know, Chris is in here producing us right now. Everybody's a little unique and different. All the listeners are different.
You want to get him on the couch? Or is he busy?
He's busy. Yeah. but it affords us these different models give us that turf interaction.
Yeah.
Allow us to kind of be like, all right, which 3Ds are you hitting with this? And how are you maxing out performance for your swing? And then I think what we're going to find, and I'm excited. I haven't heard about your fitting.
Right.
Yet, so I'm ready.
Well,
I'm ready to start hammering you with questions. But my guess is that you're going to have more than one, for most of people watching this, you're going to have more than one model in your bag. I've got three in mind from an iron standpoint.
Well, that's kind of why I started with that, because my fear is things change. Good, bad, or indifferent, things change. And when I see a similar name return, I'm like, man, I don't think they can make that better.
In the T150.
In the T150. So I'm coming into this with insane excitement over 250, insane excitement over the top end options, but also a little terrified because, you know, I would take it personally if I didn't walk away.
What if we took your Wubby away?
Exactly. You know, it's a sense of comfort.
Yeah.
And I didn't get that. I'd love for you to talk about the subtle nuances that have changed in 150. But my experience was very positive when I got into it.
Yeah. So in T150, as you said, there weren't wholesale changes. Right. When we listened to the communities and we talked to players, there was more to love than feedback on what to improve. But there were a few things to improve. So maybe I'll jump to that first. So one of them was, hey, how do we make sure we get this proportion really dialed in on the size? And when we talk about proportion, we talk about, does the blade length match up with the top line, match up with the offset and the sole width? Can we just tweak that to get it exactly right? And maybe your vernacular doesn't even lead you into some of those terms that I just said, but you just look at it and you're like, that looks good.
Yeah.
Right. That's always the goal, is let's start with that, because if this iron doesn't look good when you put it down in the playing position, you're not going to enjoy hitting it. There's no chance. It's like people who are just like, oh, well, you got to get these shoes, they're so comfortable. And you look at them and you're like, yeah, they're so ugly, I can't look down at my feet. I don't want to tie these things. They're terrible looking. Right. That is true when it comes to an iron. So we need to nail the aesthetic. So we went just a touch longer in this case. So this is a millimeter longer than it was in the past, to allow us to make sure that we can get that CG really where we want it. We can give that beautiful look. The goal with this iron is always, how can we get you hitting it just a touch higher? We want to give you speed. We want height. Height's really always the most important thing that we're looking for from a T150. Because if you're playing this iron, you've got some decent speed, right? You're not really, if you need way more speed, we got 350 for you. We got 250 for you in the 7-iron. But this thing is going to give you some speed, but it really is, how do we get you that height? And how do we get you forgiveness across the face? And then to your point, you never want to go backwards when it comes to feel or look.
Right.
How can we continue to make those better? So that was really a challenge we gave Marnie's team, was how do we enhance feel on a product like this that has a lot of supported face construction, but how do we make sure that it really feels just like a T100?
So one of the things I'm curious about is, from a material location standpoint, you shifted the size a little bit. Does that alter where material is behind the head? Have you shifted it all?
We did just slightly. Remember, it's a millimeter.
Yeah.
Right. So everybody pull out your rulers, look at a millimeter. We're talking about, you know, the probably couple of human
hairs. But
that's
kind of the point to be made, right?
Yeah.
But
those are the little tweaks that we're looking to do. And we want to make sure that, how do we give you really good on and off center ball speed on this club? Because golf's a game of misses. And this club's job is to help you with that. We'll use a recent tour winner, Aldrich Potgieter. Amazing bag. So I'll go top end down. He does T250 in 4-iron, 5-iron. Gosh, I'm screwing this up. Chris, we might have to edit.
Chris, don't edit.
Yeah. Man, how am I forgetting this? Do you remember, Chris?
I'm pulling up the...
Oh, yeah, good. He's got 3-irons in here. What?
4 and 5.
4 and 5 are 150.
Yes.
Yeah, great. So he does a T250 long iron as a utility iron. Then he does 4-iron, 5-iron in T150. And then he goes 6 through in T100, right? And this is a guy who's, if you've ever seen him delete a golf ball, I mean, he's got tons of speed.
Well, we listened to the broadcast. Every time he hit the ball, the announcers were both laughing and sort of celebrating what he was doing to it.
Yeah, and so he's working through his bag, being like, okay, I still need a little bit more help with speed, height, and launch as he's getting into his 3Ds on the top end of his bag. That's pretty cool to see.
Yeah.
Right. And so, and then this mix across is what I like. So T150, to answer your question directly, small tweaks.
So, and it pretty similar with the 100, subtle tweaks to close the gap a little bit.
Yes. One of the things that I didn't really bring up in 150, because it's not just in the 150, but across 100 and all the products, is really looking at grooves. And we talked about how the group's out here for a Vokey event. Well, it turns out the Vokey team sits next to the irons team and we share a lot of ideas. We've talked about sharing ideas around sole development and making sure you get in and out of the turf really efficiently. That's been one of the areas we've shared. Another one is as we work into grooves, trying to figure out a way when you're talking about the best players in the world with a T100, which is, by the way, it's played by more touring professionals than any other iron anywhere, not any Titleist iron, just bar none, any iron. So this sucker needs to work everywhere for players. This is a precision instrument, but they want it to be as precise from every option. What does every option look like with an iron? Well, sometimes you hit it off a tee on par threes. Sometimes you hit it out of the fairway, hopefully most of the time, but sometimes you have to hit it out of the rough or it might be raining, right? So there's all these different things that go in there. And so the team really worked on making sure that for each model of iron, we really looked at what is the groove package and how do we help you in and out of conditions where, hey, we can get you perfect flight that we want out of the fairway or off a tee. How do we make sure we get you as close to that as possible out of the rough? And that's probably one of the biggest leaps that you'll find with this new tee series, is that when you get in the rough, you're not going to see as much spin degradation as you had with whether it's our prior gen products or competitive products. And what do I mean by that is sometimes you get that flyer, that knuckly ball that comes out of there that you just don't know how to control it. Now you can actually retain spin, hit the same type of shot that you were hitting before and get those same types of results as you would off a fairway. So it's just more consistent due to the grooves. And so that was that's been easily the biggest jump in T100. And then in the long irons in T100, we actually put that muscle channel from T150. So the 3-iron, 4-iron, we put that in there, help get them a little bit more speed and a little bit more height.
For that 3D.
For the 3Ds, yeah, which we've still not actually talked about, but we'll eventually get to.
We need to talk about probably the two big irons in the lineup for the everyday golfer.
Yes.
Which I think starting with 250 is a great place. We've wrapped it now, which looks unbelievably good. We've already sort of discussed that. Where did the idea to do that come from? And then all-encompassing, why did it work to be able to do it this time around?
Yeah, and so what Dan's referring to when he says wrapped it, it's this is just solid steel construction. There is no muscle plate is what we called it in the past. Some people might have said like there's a plastic badge on there. All of that is gone, right? So this is that TMB construction, which is a hollow blade construction. And that's really what this thing looks like. It looks like a bladed iron, but if we cracked it open, and we actually have some examples over here that we can look at, there's a lot going on inside. And so where did that come from? It came from the feedback we gave the team. So I'll start with the 3Ds. We might as well finally talk about them instead of just saying 3Ds.
If we have to.
So the 3Ds are, how do we give players really consistent carry distance? That's the first D. The second is, how do we give you really tight dispersion? The third is a steep descent angle. We want that ball coming out of the sky so that it will stop on green. So
yeah, I thought you were going to make me do it, and I was confident.
Oh, you were ready. Oh,
I was confident it, the third one that was descent, but I would have said it with a question mark and it'd been pretty funny. But for the record, I knew them.
I'm proud of you.
Okay. So we did okay.
Yeah.
Anyways, back to
maybe, it. Maybe at some future date we'll edit that in. But the easy way, if you forget the 3Ds, which, by the way, listeners, you don't have to memorize them. The easy way to remember it is think about an island green. And every iron you hit, you should have the confidence that you could hit an island green, which means it can't be short, can't be long, can't be right, it can't be left, and it can't hit the thing and skip over it.
That's right? The big one. I think a lot of people have stopped falling so much in love with distance and started to fall in love with the idea of actually stopping a ball.
Yes. Because that's an iron's job.
Yeah.
An iron's job is to give you the confidence to hit an island green every single iron shot.
So, right?
And that's what we look for. So we start with the three D's in mind. And then as we talked about earlier, when we start our fitting process, we look for 5 mile-an-hour ball speed gaps.
Mm-hmm.
Once we know, all right, if you can hit your three D's in this case with this T250 with a 7 iron, can we keep doing that as we work up? Or at some point, do we need to maybe give you a 350 or a U505 or a hybrid or a high lofted fairway? We've got options as we go up through your bag. But this was really born of this idea of, hey, you know, we've figured out long irons for tour pros. How do we bring that type of performance to the rest of us throughout the set? And that's what 250 does. It's a little bit larger than T200, so 1.5 millimeters longer in blade length, allows us to be a touch more forgiving. We love to use tungsten, so this thing is loaded up with tungsten, and we take those chunks of tungsten and we stick them out of the toe and back in the heel.
So we do have the big case here that a lot of your fitters have had in the field, something that we haven't really been able to talk about as the media side of things before embargo drops, which is fine. But there, I believe you have T250 and T350 over here in the case.
Yeah, you've got actually a 150.
A 150 and 250? Okay. Yeah,
because that's a great point, Dan, in that the reason we have these exploded heads and why there's a 150 and then a 250 is that they're really kind of the same type of chassis or, you know, you see it a lot in automotive where they're like, all right, this is the frame that we build all these different vehicles on. And so 100 and 150, kind of the same chassis and then 250 and 350, very much the same chassis. And U505 follows in that same space. So that when we want to give an exploded view to show you, how does this thing really work? Those are the ones we pick.
So when it comes to 150, there's very meaningful amount of weight, heel and toe, to support the control distance percentage numbers across the face more.
Yeah. It helps us be exceptionally forgiving even in a small size.
So then you go into 250, and not only are those weights pretty crazy and hammer, but you also have something centralized. And I really want to talk about that and the way you guys achieve that, because it's really cool.
That is a really good point. Here's a fun fact for you on tungsten, Dan. Tungsten is the second most dense material on the planet to be able to put in these. You know what the first is?
I do not.
Uranium.
Really?
Yeah, but uranium's got some issues.
Probably not recommended yet.
Not recommended. No, you don't want to put that next to impact. There's a whole lot of things that could go wrong there. But yeah, so tungsten, very, very dense, very, very heavy. It allows us to spread that sweet spot across. But if we put that, as you were saying, like in the toe and the heel, so we've got all this help out there, what are we doing in the center? And that's really where this max impact material comes in. And the best way to think about an iron face is think about it as a trampoline.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now imagine you're bouncing this ball on a trampoline, right? And we've all seen little trampolines, right? Imagine you're watching that happen and you bounce it on center, it does great, bounces really high. But then you go off center and it doesn't bounce nearly as high. So you're like, oh, okay, well, what do we do to try to get the outsides to bounce higher? Well, if you took and you just put like put a log right under the center of that trampoline, you could drop that ball and now the ball, or drop it off center. Holy cow. Now off center, the ball is bouncing really, really well. But you go on center, nothing. It barely, you know, it's not going to come up nearly as much as off center. So you're like, well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to hurt someone who hits it in the center a lot.
Yeah.
So then you try all these different options, and our team looked at all sorts of things, including, you know, foams and other materials. And then finally what they realized was the way to do this is you actually put a trampoline in the center of a trampoline. And when you do that, it gives enough rigidity and structure to allow you to still get this great off-center ball speed, but also consistent on-center ball speed that's almost the same as what you see on off-center.
So I'll ask you a question I genuinely don't know the answer to. When it comes to solid body irons, a lot of people say it feels amazing to hit them perfect, which,
yes.
I mean, sure, I'm not arguing that at all. I assume a lot of that has to do with the amount of material that exists behind that point of contact. as a primary element. When it comes to something like T250 that now has this trampoline and a trampoline, does that also add to the experience on the center of the head as well?
It sure does, right? So when you open up the center, and we're not asking anyone to cut open these iron heads. Please just visit our website and you can see what they look like inside. We actually use an interesting offshoot. The first thing we came up with was leveraging materials from our golf ball team and looking at the types of cores that they use, because they're very good at returning energy, absorbing and returning energy. And so we've used an offshoot of that to be able to give you this very pleasant feeling of on-center performance. But the most important thing to the golfer is that they're going to get the consistent carry distance. I think we've all had shots with, you know, other products in the past where you'd almost get that fairway flyer.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to worry about with an unsupported face. This allows us to have all the speed of an unsupported face with the support in the middle of it.
Well, there's also a conversation that is always had on the THP forums. The community is pretty obsessed with the feedback and sound that irons make.
Mm.
And it always comes back to, of these hollow body profiles, or, you know, irons that have a face and the back separate of each other, there's a concern and a desire to get a quality strike that is not always the same head to head from company to company. And I'm curious, again, circling back onto that, how much are you able to manipulate that based on what you've added in the center?
I think what we've been able to do is really be able to give players a great feel across the face.
Okay.
But we still want you to know if you're hitting it out by the toe versus the heel, because you're not going to get better if they all feel exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
You're just not, right? As a player, that's really important. But we do want to be able to bail you out on those times where you're going to know, oh man, I got that sucker an inch towards the toe. But you're going to look up in the air and be like, hey, I think I might still make the green. Yeah. I'm not that far offline.
One of the things during my fitting that I noticed a lot was, especially when we were getting into the longer irons and hitting 250, I would hit a couple. I'm like, oh, I'm really satisfied with that. I'm only sort of satisfied with that. I really love that. I hated that. The conversation that came back is like, your ball speed numbers really aren't that far off. And I'm like, well, my emotional numbers are...
Yeah,
all over the place.
Yeah,
but if you flip that,
you're just like, oh my gosh, that means I'm getting consistency even when I don't
exactly
feel I'm striking it consistently. That's what this game's all about. Because you know, you're in a great position where you go, you like to practice, you like to play as often as possible. Think about the number of listeners who it's Saturdays at best.
Yeah,
right. They got 4 hours to carve out with the boys, and they're gonna get out there, but they don't have a chance to put in a ton of practice. So to be able to manage around those misses is just massive.
Yeah.
And that's what 250 and 350 give you in spades.
Well, you make it sound like it's really easy for me. I got a 9-year-old breathing down my neck trying to beat me out there. So it's getting really emotional for me. I need performance all the way through the bag.
I love it.
And
well, don't worry, we got cool stuff for him too.
We need to talk about 350 a bit.
Yes.
And we need to talk about the use, but there's also another really interesting club head in there. And I imagine we're getting pretty tight on time, so we'll have to clean it up a little bit.
We can keep going.
Yeah.
It's your pod. You get to post as much as you want.
That is true. Well, let's talk 350. What's different there, and why do people want that in the bag?
So 350 is, if you're a player who's looking for maximum help with distance, maximum help with forgiveness, and you still want something that looks beautiful, 350 is your choice. I don't think there's a better looking game improvement iron that I've ever seen.
Okay.
And one of the things that we still struggle with a little bit at Titleist is there's a lot of players who seem to think they're not good enough to play Titleist. That's absolutely just not the case. We do not just make clubs for the better player or for tour pros. We make clubs for dedicated golfers. And that's anyone who's just, they're really into golf and they want to play their best. T350 is going to help a whole lot of people play their best. And yeah. I would say, again, back to looking at it and feeling it, this thing launches high, it flies far, and it is just absolutely gorgeous.
So it also comes down to the conversation that we've already mentioned, that visually it doesn't really look like a high performance super game improvement style iron. It looks sleek. It looks pretty compact overall.
Yeah. Yeah, size-wise, it is in that space of game improvement irons. It's right there where you see the other game improvement irons that you've gotten used to. But again, our push was, is the marketplace really asking for something that's all tricked up or has a giant cavity in it or has got a bunch of extra words on it? Like, I don't think the consumer marketplace is really asking for that. They're just accepting it because that's what's been given to them in the past. And so our push was, what if you didn't have to make that trade-off? We didn't have to be embarrassed of the look of your irons that are in your bag. You know, they don't have to look like shovels.
Yeah.
They can perform really, really well and be sleek and, you know, and feel terrific.
You know, I think that's one of the real main benefits of being able to look at this lineup. And you have, let's see, 7 irons or utilities directly beside you. If I squinted my eyes a little bit and really flashed over, I don't think it would be that easy to pick one out over the other, which I think is a really positive thing, you know, especially for those guys who love to blend as well.
100%. We you know, we talk about this a lot, Candan, that when we look at our global tours, over 80% play blended sets. But in the consumer marketplace, it's the opposite. 80% don't.
Yeah.
And that's just we got to fix that. You know, as I look at my own bag setup, I've got 9 iron, 8 iron, T100. Then I go 7 iron, 6 iron, 5 iron, T150. And then I have what I lovingly refer to as a 3.5 iron. So it's marked 3 iron, T250, but bent to 4 iron loft, but with the length of a 3 iron shaft.
Yeah.
And that gets me those 3Ds plus a 5 mile an hour ball speed gaps. And I know you're laughing as I'm saying
that is the most 3D effort I've ever heard.
Yeah, but it's the exact thing that anyone could get at any of our fittings. Like, all those tools are there for you to mess around with this and figure out what's right for you.
Well, let's get into utilities a little bit. I think you have a T250U, right?
Yes.
Which I ended up getting fit into in the 4 iron slot.
How good is that?
I believe that was amazing. But you also know my game and know that I've had a little bit of some driver woes over the last couple of years. And I've been leading very heavily on Titleist U505.
Yes.
In fact, it's in my bag,
It's been a real weapon for you.
300 yards from us right now. Yeah. And I went into fitting, as much as I was excited to hit the irons, I'm like, there's nothing I want to do more than just see what this one iron can do from the new lineup. And I'm so impressed. So let's talk T250U first and why that mattered to get that into the lineup.
So T250 utility build for us, it just allows us to take all the same great things from an iron, but change head weights so we're optimizing for a hybrid shaft.
Mm.
All the players who move in, not all, the vast majority of players who are playing this as a long iron want that hybrid shaft. It allows them to just get a little bit more speed, a little bit more launch. When we talk about those 3Ds, again, it's the consistent carry distance, tight dispersion, and then steep descent angle. That steep descent angle really is important with long irons.
Yeah.
Right. When we talk to players where they're hitting 7 iron, you know, let's say they're hitting it 100 feet in the air, then we'll be like, all right, well, how high should your 5 iron go or your 4 iron? They're like, I don't know, 70? Like, nope. It should go 100. It should go just the same as your 7 iron. If we can get you dialed in on 7 iron, we got to dial you in on these long irons as well. And that's where T250 really comes to shine. And I bet you like it because when you look down at it, it blends seamlessly. You're talking about blade length that's just a touch longer than those 150s. Same offset, beautiful club. It just makes it a little bit easier for you to hit those 3Ds in a 4 iron.
And that's the biggest point. Easy distance is how I always look at the 4 iron slot.
Yeah. We don't want you to have to try to manipulate a club or try to do something different in your swing. We want you to swing your swing, and we'll get you the thing that gives you those 3Ds.
Well, and to your point, the Ds aren't always the same for a concern or for each player that goes through it. So, like, descent is the last of my concerns. It's the other two that I'm hyper-focused on, right? So, you know, to be able to have 250, 250U, 350, U505 all up in those upper slots, it's like I can really refine that to exactly what I want. And then put it in the bag with confidence, which I think is awesome.
Love it.
Yeah. So I really want to talk you 505 as well.
Yeah.
Because
big changes
it
on
you
505 are the shape, Dan. So
yeah.
As you get into the 4-iron and then up to the 1-iron, it's a progressive size story. So the 1-iron kind of retains a similar size and shape that you're used to, which is pretty decent blade length, really big sole, right? It basically is a hybrid driving iron.
You did kind of shallow it out though, didn't you?
Just a little.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
a little, because we realized we maybe pushed it a bit too far.
But yeah.
But I mean, as you start to look at
one
the
1-iron.
You look at the 4-iron, and the 4-iron is almost the exact same shape as a T350 4-iron.
Hmm.
And then it just grows from there. The 3 gets a little larger, the 2 gets a little larger, and it ends up at that 1-iron shape. So just this cool progressive spacing as we go through. And that just, again, we've got a little something for everybody.
And that's the interesting part, is I think folks can go in there and there can be a high level of skill difference, and they can still find something in the same series of clubs that'll perform to their best, most optimal standards. I think that's great.
And this 250 chassis really then gives us the 350 chassis, gives us the same thing in U505. This hollow blade construction allows us to be able to manipulate weight the way we want, be able to give you all those 3Ds, the 5 mph ball speed gaps. And we actually built a 250, what we're calling 250 launch spec. You lovingly refer to it as 250 star, because as you noted on the club, it just has a little star after
right.
the number 250. And that's new for this year as well. It allows us to go really weak. So launch spec is what you would think it is. It goes super high. When you hit it, do you remember how much higher it went than the other
irons? So that was the funny part of the fitting for me was I said, I really want to hit this 250 star launch spec. Jacqueline, I'm sorry. It's star for me. It's what I look at. It's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
but the problem was we were hitting dead into the wind. So everything, like, it was a very unfavorable visual going through that. So we were mostly looking at launch monitor numbers. And what I couldn't get over is the numbers actually looked really good. Like, I was hammering the ball. It was going way too high for what my window is, but the numbers were
which is its
crazy
job.
Optimal from flighting and distance wise.
Yes.
Like that I thought was really cool. And I
but
want
now
to
think of all these golfers, Dan, who don't have you have the ability to send it high.
But that's what I was gonna say. I wanted to ask you about this because I feel like this is breaking into a whole new segment of conversation for those golfers who they don't want to play the distance game right now. They want to play the control and stop game. The guys that are, you know, getting into their middle or, like, let's say 50s, 60s, maybe even 70s, and their entire goal is, I want to keep the ball in front of me, and I want it to land and stop. I mean, that is a separation of what a lot of this segment's doing right now. So to have something like Launch Spec to offer that to them has to be a huge deal.
Yeah, it's you nailed it. That's just one group. I would say anyone that is the 3D challenged, that is not coming out of the sky high enough. And that might be ladies. It might be juniors. It might be seniors. It's anyone who really struggles to get the ball high enough in the air to stop it on greens. And I talked earlier about the fact that we listen, and that's a big part of what we do. We also watch. Mm. And, you know, if you go into South Florida in the winter in some of the different communities, you're going to see a lot of low balls being played and trying to run it up on greens. And you realize that those golf courses are not created for that, right? This is a carry game, and we've got to be able to develop something. And so we took the size of T250 because we think it's right in that perfect mix of a little bit like Goldilocks. It's not too big. It's not too small. It's just right.
Mm-hmm.
And it affords us this opportunity for whether you're a decent player who's lost some speed or you're a junior and you're just developing your speed, anyone can kind of fit into this space. And I think we're going to have a tremendous opportunity with this, but you nailed it, which is if you're just going to go try to grab this thing off the rack and hit it, you're going to be like, oh, this one doesn't go as far as the other ones. No, that's not its job. Its job is to deliver all 3Ds, but most notably, that third D, that angle of descent. This is for people who really struggle to get the ball high enough We're going to help you get the ball high enough so you can actually hold greens.
Well, we talked a little bit about Tour with our recent win. And I think one thing you read when you get on THP is people are incredibly curious with the pros you're playing. But not just that, how quickly they adapt to new products.
Yes.
So one of the things I'd love to hear about is from the new T-Series, what has the Tour feedback been on it?
Gangbusters. So, and I'm sure everybody says something to that effect. So I apologize.
We believe them though.
So T250 is like lightning in a bottle. It is so quick because the players look at it and they're like, great, this does everything I want it to do. And it feels better than T200 did. It's giving me, if anything, it's a little quicker. So we're doing some things with loft because the ball speeds are actually up a little bit from what they were seeing before, but height immediately there. As we talk about utility irons or long irons in general, and even some mid irons, we're seeing about an added 10 feet of height on the tours. Mm. And all of those tours are looking for more height. They love being able to just have this easy height. They can always bring it down because they can manipulate the golf club really well. But yeah, getting it to go up is harder than getting it to come down. Well, so really important for them to have that. And then this groove story we talked about is what's really lighting them up with 100 and 150, especially in their mid irons and short irons, is they're like, oh my gosh, I'm way more consistent out of all shots than I was before, most notably the rough.
Yeah. So fortunately for us consumers, as you created a couple of really great videos, I really enjoyed Justin Thomas going through it.
Yeah.
The Fitter, you guys put that up on your YouTube. I love that. It's always really fun to see how they react. Because you know the guys out there that are plug and play and don't really care. But you also know the guys who are deeply invested.
Love the grinders.
What's happening? Can they make it a little bit better? They're chasing those finite numbers that we're not usually chasing. Like we're chasing a great number. They're chasing finite numbers. But for them to react in a positive way straight out of the gate is a really cool thing.
Yeah, I haven't seen this much positivity. But again, it's because we gave them what they asked for.
Mm.
They're basically on T100. We're like, don't change the shape. If you could, can you make it a little bit more consistent? And then, but even that, like what a broad word consistency is,
yeah,
right? It was really starting to dive into how can we make it better on every shot after shot. And once the light bulb went on around making it better out of the rough, that was a key moment for them. How do you make sure that I can always hold greens, you know, that I'm getting enough spin? Because in their mind, spin was also like launch and height.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like, but I don't want too much spin where I lose control of my golf ball in yeah, the wind. So that was a better challenge for us of like, all right, what they're really saying is they want height, but they don't want to get the height only through added spin because that actually can be a negative for them. So it was how can we be able to get them those different variables? And mm-hmm, so just it's really been fun for JJ and our global tour teams to have this success. I would say definitively in my close to 10 years here, easily the fastest uptick we've ever had on irons.
Wow.
Yeah. To the point where JJ sometimes is already thinking about 2 years from now. He's like, I don't know how we're going to get these 250s out of the bag in 2 years. These things are so good at the long irons.
Wow. Well, what an adventure this launch has been. I've really enjoyed seeing it firsthand.
But you got to give us your bag. So
oh,
you got
to need to do
we haven't done it yet.
Yeah, I do need to do that.
And I want full specs. I want full Kandan.
Really? Okay. Well, we go 150 for a long time.
Okay.
And I think one of the things that happened last time was making that decision was when we progress
yeah,
is a hard thing to do. So we are 150 all the way through the... Oh man, 5 iron.
So we go pitch through five, or
yeah,
do we do 9 iron through
pitch,
five?
Pitch through five.
Pitch through five. Okay.
And then we
and
have.
And then hold on, spec. Are we flat? Are
we
weak?
Oh,
are
so
we upright?
This is
what
crazy. I've been an upright guy for a long time. I'm 1 degree flat now.
Okay.
Controlling a little bit of that draw.
I like
which
that.
Which is great. The turf interaction improved almost immediately,
mm-hmm,
which is really cool. And then we go. T.
Now, are we standard lofts in all these?
Standard lofts.
Okay, great.
Because
one of the things you would have seen at your fitting is we have this new really cool loft sleeve so we can do independent loft and lie.
Yeah.
Which
we,
is really
we,
open
we
up
toyed
a
with
really
it a little
cool
bit. Yeah.
Space so for our fitters.
The one flat was a good one. We toyed with a couple other things and it just seemed like the window was better
great
with just the one flat.
Yeah.
And yeah, you guys also have In some of the heads, they have screws in them too. You can change the swing weight profile super quickly.
Yeah, headway adjustment.
Which I thought was pretty wild. And so anyways, T250 and 4 iron.
What did we do for shaft?
Killing me. But I'm doing this to you, right?
Yeah.
So we went Project X LZ.
Okay.
In 6.0.
Love it.
So I was in LS 6.0.
Yeah.
In the previous iteration, which has become like one of my absolute favorite shafts on the planet. And now we're mixing it up with LZ a little bit. So
such a good feel.
Yeah.
Such a good feel.
It loads like crazy.
Yeah.
And that's great.
It's got the load zone, Dan. Come on.
Yeah. Well, they do it right over there at Project X. So
they do a good job.
Good guys. So 4 iron T250, pretty much all same specs all the way down.
Did we stay in the LZ with that or did you go graphite?
LZ.
Okay.
Like and then we have T... It's either U505 or T250U in the 3 iron.
Mm.
And then we go to the big boy.
Yeah.
We're back to 1 iron city.
Love it.
The one thing that I'm most worried about is the 1 iron has become a little bit of a circus act for me. Most people want to hit it and it's fun to have it out there. But I'll tell you what, hitting that GT fairway wood is making it really hard to keep that 1 iron in the bag because it's
you
really
hit
coming
the 1 iron
around.
Nice though.
It is crazy good. So I'm super, super excited.
By the way, Ben On does the 1 iron all the time.
Well, he's better than I am.
Doesn't play. he goes driver. So he has one, he's got really two head covers in his bag, a driver putter. That's it for head covers.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, so that's a debate and I'm not going to drag it onto here too much, but I cover them. I put covers on mine.
Yeah.
I like to keep them warm.
I like that. Wow. Hats for bats.
Yeah.
Keep
hats
bats
for bats.
Warm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, 1 iron, in the U505 with, I think we ended up in hazardous there. Really cool fit. So yeah, they can't come soon enough. You know what I mean?
as a nod to our friend Pedro Serrano from Major League, I also keep my utility iron covered.
Really?
Yeah.
So I don't have to feel
crazy. Well, I started doing
unique.
It because I get the product sometimes a little bit earlier than consumers are allowed
you hide
to
it
see
up,
them.
Yeah.
So I hide them that way.
Yeah.
So I took the iron covers off the day I could, but I got used to having this kind of a cool knit hybrid cover that's on my utility iron. So
okay.
I just kind of just left it on there because I kind of like it. It looks
nice.
Cool.
Yeah. Well,
and it reminds me of a neat golf course that I was at that day.
I started doing it because I wanted to swing a little bit different. I wanted a different mentality where I felt like, because for a while I had it on my 4 iron and I had a 4 iron in the bag where I never really wanted to take turf.
Yeah.
I wanted to hit it more like a 3 wood.
Yep.
And then, so now I'm doing that with my utility irons. I want to hit more neutral on them versus my irons, which I would hit down on.
Yeah.
So I feel like when I pull the head cover off, I change my mentality.
I like that.
Yeah. It worked out pretty well. Shout out to the guys on the forum who call my bag a Franken bag.
Okay.
It's fair, but it's mine. So, 3Ds are all the way through.
Love it.
Yeah, man. I can't wait to update the forum on that. We will have all kinds of crazy content coming. You guys, I'm not sure if you're going, but there is a Titleist Iron event coming up at Arbor Links.
In August.
In August. So
right?
Are you pretty fired up for
that? August
or
September?
We'll
have to check.
I'm not sure, but
it's later this year.
Yeah,
it's Arbor Links in Nebraska.
Yeah, Palmer Design.
Yeah, I'm very excited about.
Yeah,
this.
You guys are gonna have a blast there.
Oh, are you not coming?
I'm not.
Didn't
coming.
Get the invite.
Didn't catch it. You will get to hang out with the legend known as Hawk.
Woo!
Yeah, Ryan Hawk, our writer, is gonna join you, and he is an absolute trip.
Fantastic.
So, and some great THPers as well.
Yeah.
You get to see your buddy Aryang again.
Oh, I love that. I'm wondering, have not everybody's been selected just yet, right?
I believe they're all selected, yeah.
Okay.
So we'll have to edit that out too.
Sorry, Chris.
No, that's
but
great.
Yeah,
so
Dan, I could not be more excited. I love the THP events. Marnie is going to be there.
Amazing.
JD will be there. It's just an opportunity to get the community together. Everyone will get fit beforehand, so that we will have, we'll get to really showcase the 3D performance.
It's going to be fun follow, and I'm pretty sure it's a great golf course to hit irons on. So
can't wait.
Yeah. I hope you guys have the best time there. And for you guys out there who are listening in, check out the new tee series from Titleist. They look unbelievable. And I'm not even saying that because this couch is so comfortable. They are stunning in hand. And I think the idea that there's an iron for everyone in the lineup is really ringing true for this iteration. So shout out to you guys. It's clear you're listening, not just to me, but to everyone.
Yeah. Well, and better than just looking at them, you can go hit them anytime after July 10th. You can go to any golf shop, go try the product.
Awesome. Well, I think that wraps it up here. I'm going to go enjoy the short course here at TPI. And if you guys are playing golf this weekend, have a good time. And if you are playing with a buddy and he doesn't hit the best shots, when he does hit it, go and tell him it was a nice shot, because he probably needs to hear it, right?
I love kindness.
Yeah. Kindness is underrated.
Let's do it.
All right. And as Bob Vokey says, do your homework. Go practice your wedge game. We'll see you guys next week.
Now it's time to send it over to Don Brown for this week's Shaft Education, brought to you by True Temper.
Hey, THPers, it's Don back here in Shaft University answering another one of your questions. This week's question is about hazardous yellow. How does it fit in the hazardous line, and how does it compare to hazardous black? If you haven't seen this on the forum already, there's a huge thread going on about the hazardous yellow with the THP's testers that have tried it, so go check that out, and I'll go ahead and answer that question for you. Hazardous yellow and hazardous black are going to get you to the same place. They're just two different roads to get there. The hazardous black is a very stiff midsection, very stout. With the hazardous yellow, we've made a very stiff tip section and a very stiff butt section, but that midsection's a lot softer. Both are going to produce low launch and low spin. The yellow is just going to have a little more feel for those players with a smoother tempo. So if you're an aggressive tempo type of player, probably go with the hazardous black. If you like a shaft with a little more feel, or you have a little more smoother tempo, try the hazardous yellow. Like I said, there's a really long post going on the forums right now, so if you want to find out more from your fellow THPers, go check that out. Talk to you guys next time.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.